weeknights from 6 on 2FM.
And a very big thanks to Graham and Andrew and the Little Blue Bear for getting the weekend underway with the last ever 2FM Drive show. It's Friday the 21st of February. You are listening to Game On with Andrew O'Connor, coming up between now and 10 o'clock. Yes, I said that right. We're on the air until 10 p.m. this evening for full coverage of the UEFA Women's Nations League Group B2 clash between the Republic of Ireland and Turkey, also known as Turkey. We'll go to Tala in a moment to check in with our stadium presenter Shane Dawson and panellists Maeve DeBurk and Alan Cawley. Out of the fourth round of the Allianz Football League, we'll preview the weekend action with Brendan Devenny. Shane McGrath joins us to discuss the upcoming National Hurling League fixtures. We'll talk League of Ireland and English Premier League with Alan Cawley and much more. And as the build-up to Cheltenham continues, Owen Ward prepares us for another big weekend of racing. As always, if you want to have your say, you can text us on 51552 or WhatsApp us on 087 187 9200.
Game on 2FM.
Now, some of the big stories of the day before we head to Tala. The Premier League leaders Liverpool have been drawn to play Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 in the Champions League. Liverpool will be away in the first leg. Arsenal were paired with PSV Eindhoven, while Aston Villa will face Club Brugge in the Europa League. Manchester United will meet Real Sociedad. Tottenham Hotspur will face AZ Alkmaar. And in the Conference League, Chelsea will play FC Copenhagen. In rugby, Ireland have held their captain's run at the Principality Stadium ahead of tomorrow's Guinness Six Nations Championship meeting with Wales. Ireland's interim coach Simon Easterby reports no late injury concerns. We hope to hear from Ireland captain Dan Sheehan in a little later on in the show. Meanwhile, the Irish under 26 nations, and they will play Wales at Rodney Parade at 7:45 tonight. In golf, in the second round of the Mexico Open, Padraig Harrington slipped to 2 over par. 5 shots dropped so far today. South African Aldrich Potgieter leads on 12 under par. And in hockey, despite going ahead through Jeremy Duncan, Ireland lost their latest men's Pro League game 3-1 to the host India. And in Gaelic games, the GAA's annual Congress will get underway in Donegal Town tonight. And among the motions over the weekend will be the introduction of a qualifier-style series in the All-Ireland Football Championships. Now, before we get going in the programme, let us head over to Tala ahead of that big game after the disappointment of December's European Championship playoff loss to Wales. The Republic of Ireland women's side will return to competitive action tonight under new boss Carla Ward. Ireland will get their Nations League campaign underway against Turkey in Group B2 of Tala Stadium. And we can go and join our stadium presenter Shane Dawson. He is alongside Alan Cawley. Gentlemen, good evening and happy Friday.
Andrew O'Connor, happy Friday to you. We're very jealous of you in the toasty warm studio there as we brave the elements. Maeve de Burgh has just joined as well, but Maeve and Alan have beaten the traffic and are both brave. Alan, have you got the heated gilet on you?
I have everything on me tonight and they're badly needed. I was well prepared after watching the game in Tala last night, Shane. I knew what we were in for, and from being up here speaking from experience many times in this kind of wintry weather, it's not a pleasant place in this kind of weather, but in terms of what we're here to watch and look, I'm looking forward to the game.
Yeah, hopefully it should be a cracking game of football. Obviously there was a match here last night, Maeve. I know Owen Ward is joining us for our racing chat a little bit later on in the show, but would you classify that as good to soft, the pitch?
Yeah, far from carpet probably. Anyway, a few little divots I'd say it'll definitely break up throughout the first half, I'd expect anyway, but wind will definitely be a factor as well, like you were saying. I think that's really going to play a part, but yeah, looking forward to it. It feels like a long time since the 3rd of December since we had that heartbreaking loss, so it'll be good to see the girls back in action and hopefully they can try at least to put it behind them.
The Irish team on the pitch in front of us at the moment, jumping around, smiling, all in good spirits. And why wouldn't they be, Alan? It's a new dawn, it's a new era.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments as well, Shane. It is a new dawn, a new era, a new manager, new coaching team as well. And something that I'm looking forward to seeing, even from listening to Carla Ward and how she spoke in the press conference, what she's looking to bring, an identity to the team, a freshness, letting the players want to go out and express themselves. And hopefully that's the case. You'd fancy them against Turkey tonight, a home game. I agree with Maeve, considering the conditions and the wind, I think that'll all play a factor. But just in terms of the rankings and where we sit compared to Turkey, we should be getting the job done. But I'm more interested in just in seeing the setup and the shape and exactly what this coach is all about, because she does have really good pedigree in terms of the Women's Super League, but as an international manager, first job as well for her. But she is a really experienced coach on her side, and Alan Mahan as well, a former international himself, but huge experience in the women's game. So I think it's a good partnership, both of them, to be honest with you, Shane, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it brings.
We will get into the nuts and bolts of what Carla Ward might bring and all of the off-field issues and everything from 7 o'clock onwards. But Maeve, just broadly speaking about this kind of new era, new manager, there's a freshness among the group. Are you positive? Are you optimistic?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, obviously, you know, the Euros is probably going to come back to haunt us in the summer again somewhat. We're trying to put it behind us now, but I think when the games have been broadcast throughout the summer, there will definitely be that those feelings will come up again. But at the moment, in the springtime, definitely a new era and a new team in Turkey. We've never played them before at senior international level. Them being the lowest ranked in the group, 35 places behind us, I think it's actually the perfect kind of platform now for Carla and all the staff and the players themselves to get off, hopefully, to a good start in what should be a progressive approach towards the World Cup inevitably.
Yeah, Ireland ranked 25th, Turkey in 60th place in the world rankings. It's a new era for players, for management, but for fans coming down to Tala Stadium as well, Alan. Okay, yes, it's a bit breezy, it's going to get a bit windy, but isn't it great to have the international football back?
Yeah, of course, and this is their home, really. Of course, the last couple of games, Shane, were in the Aviva because of the nature of the, I suppose, what was at stake. But this really is, I suppose, the home for the women's team, and they've made it their home over recent seasons. And there's no better sight, really, than seeing it packed out for the women's team, and hopefully that's the case. It is a cold night, but once the game starts and people get involved in the game, I'm sure there'll be plenty for them to cheer on and roar and shout about, and hopefully that's the case. Because I am expecting a performance really where they go up and go after this Turkey team. As you said, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it later on, but I am expecting a bit of a show tonight, to be honest with you, Shane, and that's not putting kind of too much pressure on the team, but I am expecting a response from what went on in December, and because it's a new manager and a new reign, that we see that kind of bounce from that as well.
Yeah, a response, Maeve. It's important to somewhat harness that disappointment and try and turn it into kind of good feeling and motivation, but at the same time balance it that you do want to somewhat park it.
Yeah, exactly. And like Alan said, it's kind of a clean slate, and it's although there's only one new player in the squad, they're all new players for Carla at international level. So they really, from what I've heard, the training was really high intensity because, none of them were guaranteed the shirt at the start of the week, when in other camps they may have been just based off reputation alone. So I think that's going to be the exciting thing. Probably going to see a couple of changes maybe, or maybe even a surprise or two in the starting 11, who knows, or off the bench. And that's what new managers bring. They bring new opinions, new different approaches maybe. So yeah, definitely, I think it's going to be good to hopefully park the Euros and all that disappointment, and now, like I said, just look forward to these games against obviously Slovenia and Greece later in the group, but starting tonight against Turkey.
Yeah, important to get off on the right footing, Alan.
Absolutely, yeah, because at the end of the day there's points at stake as well, Shane, and that's so important, and we want to obviously finish as high up as we can. I think falling down from League A as well, I don't think that's a bad thing, to be honest with you. Of course you want to be pitting yourself against the best teams in the world, but I think we're just a little bit off that level right now when you're trying to build off the back of qualification for our first ever major tournament. Then we fell short for the Euros, but I do think the Nations League B is probably where we sit. And to be fair to Turkey, even looking at their results since they come up from League C, they had a decent campaign last year. They had 3 wins and 3 defeats, so they're probably at home at this level as well, even though there's a huge disparity in rankings. As much as I'm expecting Ireland to win, I don't think this will be an easy game by any means. But I do think this is where we kind of sit in the women's football pyramid, if you like, at the moment, with a new manager, with a new reign, hoping to put, I suppose, foundations in place that we can build and eventually progress up to League A. But even looking at the League A and the games that we had, and I know we had a couple of positive results as well, but I do think we're a little bit off that level right now.
Okay, well, Carla Ward has set out her style. She said she's in it to win it. She wants to win this Nations League group. It will be interesting to see what her starting 11 will be. Maeve and Alan are going to keep me company all the way until 10 o'clock on live match analysis. Sue Ronan is going to join John Kenny in commentary, and we can cross now to John Kenny with Team News.
It's just come into us, and this is the team. Courtney Brosnan stays in goal, no surprise there. Then we're going to have Mannion, Patton, Campbell and McCabe across the back. That means that no Kathleen Hayes for the first time since she broke into the team. She's on the bench, so Ruth Littlejohn and Denise O'Sullivan will be just in front of that back four. Then just in front of those two will be Marisha Shiva. Out on either side, then on the right-hand side will be Lucy Quinn. And then we have Heather Payne on the left-hand side. She's winning her 50th cap tonight. Congratulations to her. And Kyra Carusa from San Diego Waves, earning her 32nd cap tonight, will lead the line. So Brosnan in goal, Mannion, Patton, Campbell and McCabe. Depends on where she plays. Obviously, she's been put into left back. There is talk, of course, from Carla Ward that she might be used in a different role. But in front of that, Little John and O'Sullivan. Then Quinn, Lucy Quinn, that is, and Payne on the two wings, Shiva and Carusa down the middle. That's the starting 11.
Great stuff. John Kenny, as I mentioned, Sue Ronan will be joining your good self on commentary very shortly. Just before we do, hand back to Andrew and the lads. Alan, good to see and expected to see there's familiarity about the starting 11.
Yeah, and I think that's important as well, that there is familiarity, because as much as there's the new kind of people at the helm, it is important, I suppose, coming into a squad that you still have some continuity in what we've seen before, and I think that's going to be the case. And there will, as time goes by, be opportunities for those new players to eventually come into the group. But from what we've seen of the squad that's been named, there's plenty of experience and familiarity amongst that, and I think it's no surprise to see that she's gone with a strong 11, if you like, of familiar faces as well. Like, everybody's familiar with all those names over the last two or three seasons watching the girls. So no real surprises there, to be honest, Shane.
Yeah. No real surprises. No Caitlin Hayes, Heather Payne making a 50th appearance as well. And the big question where Katie McCabe is actually going to play. She said she might get a bit of a different role under Carla Ward, but you would imagine that's a left wing back, judging by that starting 11.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to call. I suppose the inclusion of Megan Campbell is one maybe that a lot of us would have been calling for, just given her her strength, obviously at throw-ins, but also in other areas. So that's interesting that she's gone for her over Caitlin Hayes. Caitlin Hayes, I think, is the only player to have played every minute under Eileen Gleeson. So whether that's just a personal opinion or preference, or whether there's an injury there, I'm not sure. But it'll be good to see. Obviously, when Megan has played previously, it's generally in a left back row, but it'd be interesting to see her. She has played centre back as well before too, so it'll be like I said, that's probably the only one. But where McCabe ends up then as well will be interesting.
The inclusion of Megan Campbell makes me believe Katie will be higher up the pitch, that she might play in that left full position, Shane, and okay. I hope that's the case, because that's always the debate around Katie, is the best position to get her in. But anywhere further up the pitch, whether that's in a midfield area, left midfield, I just want to see her further up the pitch, to be honest, because she's the one that can unlock doors for us and has the quality to either assist or score a goal herself. Interest in the midfield as well, if she goes with kind of what we're looking at, Little John, O'Sullivan, Shiva.
Yeah.
Little John's the only one really with kind of any defensive nous in there, really. Denise is very much attacking, Shiva the same. So that's a very attack-minded tree, if that's what they go for in there. But all will be revealed in the next wee while. But just certainly in terms of what we're looking at on paper, it's an attacking lineup as we expected.
Okay, great stuff. More from Maeve and Alan very shortly. But Andrew, I believe you've Gaelic football, you've hurling, you've racing, and I'm sure you've a bit of League of Ireland to chat about as well.
With the usual plethora of Friday evening talking points, Shane, as you know, we'll be back speaking with Alan Cawley from Tala on League of Ireland and Champions League, Europa League and everything else we can fling at Alan in a couple of minutes' time. But things closer to home, let us talk Gaelic games and let us talk round four of the Allianz Football League. And where better to start with a man from the county that is probably the greatest footballing county right now at the moment. Brendan Devaney joins us on the line, as he does every Friday. Brendan, good Friday to you.
Yeah, that's us. We're sitting pretty, looking down at everybody else.
Sitting pretty. Sam is half in the back pocket already. Donegal, three wins from three.
Yes, isn't it February? I can't believe the reaction to one match. But listen, let's all lose the run of ourselves, yeah?
Let's lose the run of ourselves. It is Friday, after all. Let's unusually start sort of in a chronological order with these fixtures. And we'll start on tomorrow. There is a 5 o'clock throw-in at the Box IT Athletic Grounds. Armagh up against Mayo. Mayo finally got their first points of the board in a very low-scoring game last weekend. It was, 12 points to 10? Unheard of in the modern game, Brendan.
Yeah, very, very unusual match. And, I just think both teams struggling for form. And it's notable, the subs that come on for me. When you talk about Donegal, it's mid-February. It's not the time for saying how a team's going to play in the championship. Definitely not. And I'd say no more than Jim sitting back is probably laughing to himself that people are taking such heat of it. And I think that happens in the league every year. Listen, it's no harm. It's a bit of excitement. But really, it's not when things you can really note things. And certainly for Mayo, the likes of Callan, Coyne, Boland, Aidan O'Shea, and of course Ryan O'Donoghue coming on was huge. When they needed that wee bit of, I suppose, experience on the ball and the craft of O'Donoghue, particularly that last score, the way he dropped the shoulder and could go by people. And I think that's the difference. That's what happened in that match for Mayo. They had that bit of ability that's coming back, and that'll give a heart to Mayo fans because they're really down in the dumps after them opening two defeats. So big, big victory for them. But you see a lot of issues with Tyrone, who will get into it in a minute, for that they could only muster up 10 points. Of course, their main sharpshooters are yet to come back. I think they'll be back this weekend.
And speaking of issues, All-Ireland champions Armagh look like they're slow to grapple with the new rules.
Yeah, listen, they've mixed the good with the bad, I suppose. You know, the Galway game, so they blamed the wind in terms of, listen, first game out and all that, trying to get used to it. The second game in, they really went after Tyrone. Rafferty was putting nets and made a big difference, and they blew Tyrone away early on. They really went for them. I thought, to be honest, they would go for Donegal. You know, Donegal got a lot of short kickouts away, particularly in the first half, which I was surprised at. And you give Donegal the ball at their peril because they are moving at such pace. They're ripping through. You score 10 points in a row against Armagh, but such is the modern game now. No more than we've seen big leads overturned it. Armagh had a couple of two-pointers in the second half, and they're right back in it. You know, and that's without the brilliance of the likes of Rian O'Neill, and he's to come back soon. You know, Oisin O'Neill fell as a gat, and I don't think their form has really clicked yet. So, you know, Donegal actually never put them away, even though they completely outplayed them. So I think that's up into the Fokker sending off, of course, which I'm sure everybody's well talked about at this point, and I'm sure Fokker doesn't want us talking about it. But yeah, up into that point, Armagh were actually in the game not playing well. And I think that's what the potential of the 2 points, because Donegal scores were all 1-pointers. So with Armagh coming out kicking a couple with the wind in the second half, suddenly they were back in the game. So the sending off had a big bearing in that, but Donegal did look on the money.
Derry have also had a slow start, Brendan, to the league so far. And Dublin, of course, had that amazing comeback win over Kerry last weekend. But it's difficult to believe that last year Dublin and Derry were playing out a thrilling Division 1 final. And Derry came out on top, but things have changed.
It was all rosy in the camp then. But they got the, of course, the assassination job and the smash and grab. And then Derry, then Donegal were waiting in the long grass. Listen, you know, Paddy Talley's obviously, you know, the whole saga of the Derry management, which I think was affected the players a lot. They took ages, they were late coming back. But you've seen a lot of fight in Derry, and they're very unlucky probably to be in the position they're in. They could very easily be sitting on 4 points. And I think that's probably, you could see that, I think from Derry fans and from the supporters' perspective, the fight is on. You know, Lachlan Murray had a brilliant impact in his introduction the last day out. So I think that they are steadying the ship. You know, and for Dublin, of course, you know, they're just happy enough to unearth new players and move along as Dublin is. They've had so much success that coming into Dublin squad now is quite relaxed because people are just happy for them to find their feet in it. And I think, you know, their comeback the last day was phenomenal. I mean, Bogler, Kilkenny, and of course, Larkin and Adele's couple of scores later on, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Kerry must have thought they were home and hosed. 11 points up. You know, but again, going back to that 2 points, it's just not the way it was. And you're seeing some great performance in there. I think McMahon's a great man marker. McGuinness is doing well at midfield as well. So there's a lot of pluses for Dublin coming in now that if they can unearth and just stay stable in Division 1, which, to be honest, is what everybody wants. They're trying to unearth players, just stay in the division and work towards the championship.
And a tough one for Tyrone. I mean, they're trying to get their season started and they have to host Kerry on Sunday at 1:45, and Kerry will want to turn over the disappointment of last weekend as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and you know, it's about the sharpshooters coming back, and I'm sure these guys are sitting now, David Clifford, thinking this game now is made for me at last after years of everybody just shut him down, and the Canavan's the same, you know, particularly Dara there, and we think they must be thinking, great, I'm going to get one on one with people, user and baller, when I come back. And listen, we'll all be delighted to see them, maybe until they're playing against us, of course, but you know, watching them now from a neutral, Tyrone and Kerry, you're just hoping that. I think talent's been allowed to blossom again. Players aren't being choked by two or three round them. You know, teams are still trying to do that, of course, but by and large, you can't isolate people one-on-one. And good luck to whoever ends up isolated one-on-one, whether David Clifford or whether Darragh Canavan. You're going to struggle to stop them. So that's the kind of players we want to see playing. Of course, for Tyrone scoring 10 points last week, particularly in the modern game, that's not going to beat anybody. So listen, big job on from Malky Rourke. You know, Morgan was their top scorer with 3 points, and you've got to look across the forward line. They have to take responsibility for that. But certainly, when you have the players of the Canavans coming back, Big O'Goose as well, of course, Hampsey's to come back into that defence as well. So listen, Tyrone, no more to say in the start, they're going to be a different team come championship. And of course with Kerry now, with the big man back, you know, Sean O'Shea hovering around there, Conor Guinness had a brilliant start to the season. Of course Paddy's going to be in. Be interested to see how Paddy plays in terms of link up play with David. So a lot of excitement for both these teams. Of course, they're only one from three, so they're both under a bit of pressure as well heading into this game. It's a big game. I mean, you'd think whoever loses this, you're staring at relegation.
Now, we're going to save the best last. Obviously, last year's All-Ireland runners-up, Galway, are hosting the best team of the moment, that is Donegal. And speaking of returns of big players, there was a return of a big Donegal player. Michael Murphy bounced onto the scene again last week with a huge impact, and he'll be hoping to continue that this weekend.
Yeah, Murphy mania is alive and well here in Donegal. Yeah, listen, the pitch invasion and... Oh, listen, it was mad to see in a league game. I've never seen anything like that. And, you know, I've seen a lot in football now, but there was basically a championship crowd there. And between Donegal's run and the interest in new rules, and it's as if I think we were pushing it a bit in terms of our love of Gaelic football this last number of years, how bad some of the games were in possession-based and going back to the keeper and keeping ball. So now that we've kind of unleashed it a bit now, I don't think the rules are perfect. There's a lot of tweaking has to be done. But certainly it's put a serious shot of adrenaline back in. And of course, that would be good enough on its own. And lands Michael Murphy and does what Murphy does, you know. And just, we've been happy enough for him to get a few touches of the ball, but that wasn't going to be good enough for Michael. He looks trim. He looks lean. He upset our defence, Warren Falker. So to have him back with that possibility of where we play him, when he comes on, what he's going to do, it's such a talisman they have waiting. So if it's going well for Donegal, you can bring him on to see out the game. If it's not going well, he's going to come on and give you some, or might he start? I think he's lean and fit enough. You're looking at him now, particularly with the three inside. If he gets to stay up there, of course, there's no reason why this man couldn't play a full match. So, listen, fantastic to see him back.
Galway will be disappointed after letting that 9-point lead fall to Derry last weekend. So they'll be hoping to get back to winning ways this week. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, they're so free scoring, both these teams. I think Donegal are plus 14 on the points differential and Galway are plus 16. Will it be a high scoring game?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Donegal is sitting just behind Kerry in the scoring charts. Kerry have 7 goals, Donegal have none. And I'll be fascinated to see how this game shapes up, because I'm probably always going to be watching, trying to stop the Donegal running game. Donegal trying to stop Galway's 2-point game. So where they sit in the arc, you've got so many dangerous shooters around there. You know what, Corrine has come in. You've got obviously Walsh. You've got the Conroy. You've got so many people that can, if you rotate the ball to them, if you're Donegal sitting quite deep in games, that's not going to be deep enough. That's not going to be where they need to sit against Galway. They're going to have to come out a bit more, and then there's a possible ball inside, which we're not seeing that much of because the defence is so cramped in, because the defences are deeper set now than they were last year, which is something that we didn't think would happen with Eric, but it has been happening. So I think that's going to be a fascinating battle. How much Donegal when they won this game is questionable now, in terms of they don't want to be in the league final. It's the week before Derry. Do Galway want to be in a league final? It wouldn't bother them as much, but their championship is the following week also. So it's be interesting to see how both teams shape up in this match. But yeah, certainly two slightly different styles coming together, both trying to stop each other's like plus points, to say Galway shooting from range, and it'll be Donegal Galway looking to stop that running game. But Donegal has so many players that can punch holes as well, so fascinating encounter down in Salt Hill. I'll be down for it.
And Brendan, in Division 2, 4 teams are pulling clear even at this early stage. Obviously Roscommon, 3 wins from 3, and they are playing on Sunday this week. They are up against, where is my sheet? They are up against, they're away to Meath in Park Chalchin. Meath, of course, in third place on 4 points after 2 wins. That'll be a tough one, but Roscommon look as good as they come.
Listen, you're on about new rules, I suppose, and who they're going to suit and what teams. I mean, we're on about for years, and I know Roscommon, people don't want to hear that. Listen, their talent's unreal. I mean, the game that they beat Tyrone in the championship last year showed everything good about them. You always just wondered about a bit of midfield power and their defensive capabilities, which haven't probably been tested yet in Division 2. It's been shootouts. Division 1 has been very different to the other divisions. Division 1 has been much more tactical than the rest of the divisions. There have been some unbelievable games. I mean, no more than Cork's last week, the 3-18, the 3-17. I mean, Chris Oak and his scoring threat in there, just unbelievable. He's 5-8, his name already. And that's so different, say, to some of the matches I've seen where there's been very little goal chances. So, yeah, Roscommon and Meath are on the comeback. Harmony, great management team in there now. And you can just see that the whole county starting to lift with it. And of course, Jeremy and Frayne and Morris, 8 points each the last day. Murta hitting 12 points against Monaghan. And again, they were four down at half time, completely like took the game to Monaghan second half. So that, I think, will be a brilliant game of football. And we were just chatting earlier, you know, we're not seeing any Division 2 really. You know, I think, you know, we got to look at televising a few of these games because there's some brilliant matches happening there as well, which I'm sure people would love to see.
And Monaghan and Cork obviously brought forward to tomorrow in Inishkeen because of weather concerns. Chris O'Jones, 3 goals and 4 points. That wasn't a bad outcome. Will he crack on or was that a one-off?
Yeah, you know, in the GA, they were too tight to give anybody the match ball. he would have done well to sneak away with the Isle O'Neills there, I tell you. But listen, what a player. And again, Cork, you know, you look at it, never suited that defensive strangle counter-attack game. You know, they're a big, old-style type way, more than me, big physical team, which means they want to kick the ball. They want to kick the ball. And so many teams were running it through the hands and getting numbers back. So I think the likes of the Cork there, like, I think they'll be on up and up, no more than Meath this year. And all those teams, I think, at Division 2 are looking at those eight, thinking, can we get back in? Of course, Monaghan were in there under new management as well, and they're looking to unearth a flood of new players, of course, with the great Conor McManus retired as a huge, huge void to fill. So maybe like Murphy as well, they'll talk him back out of retirement. You never know.
A massive weekend of action ahead. We'll enjoy it and we'll speak to you next Friday. It was noted your downplaying of Donegal and how seriously they're taking this league. You know, it's been noted.
Cheers. Good
thanks,
luck,
Brendan. Talk to you next week.
Good luck, sir. Good luck, sir.
We'll be back talking hurling with Shane McGrath after this break.
RTE 2FM. Game on 2FM.
Now, before we talk hurling, let us go back to Tallaght Stadium and join Shane Dawson and we'll get confirmation of the team news.
Thanks very much, Andrew. Half seven kickoff here, so what, we're just under an hour away from kickoff in Tallaght Stadium. The crowd slowly trickling in. Fine evening for a game of football, a bit breezy, but sure, we'll contend with the cold. Team news is Courtney Brosnan in goal, as is expected. Now, if you were to believe the UEFA team news, Ireland are playing with a 3-5-2, which is highly unlikely, but the defenders are anyway Aoife Mannion, Anna Patton, Megan Campbell and Katie McCabe, if she does play in that left wing back role. UEFA have her playing up top, which may be a bit aspirational and unrealistic. Risha Littlejohn and Denise O'Sullivan in midfield, as are Lucy Quinn, Marissa Shiva and Heather Payne, and Kira Caruso will lead the line up top. Wait and see who will be playing off Kira Caruso. Alan Colley and Maeve De Burke will be with me for expert analysis throughout the evening. We are with you all the way until 10 o'clock here on 2FM. Sue Ronan is on commentary alongside John Kenny. We cannot wait. UEFA Nations League is back. Tallaght Stadium football. It's Ireland against Turkey coming up very shortly, Alan, or Andrew, I should say.
That's quite all right. I've been called worse, even today. Shane, are you suggesting there could be a Ruben Amorim formation from Miss Ward?
Possibly. Hopefully it's not a Ruben Amorim performance, yes, with respect to Manchester United of late. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see if she does stick with a back four, if it is three centre-halves and the wing-back, because there was a lot of talk around where Katie McCabe will play. Carla Ward has hinted at it might be a bit more of an advanced role, but does an advanced role mean that it's a left wing back as opposed to a traditional left full? Littlejohn and O'Sullivan might be our holding midfielders, because you're looking at Quinn, Shiva and Payne. They are a bit more attack minded. Having said that, the caveat is Heather Payne could possibly play in a wing back role as well. So what we know for sure is Courtney Brosnan will be in goal and Kira Caruso will lead the line. What happens in between is a wait and see. I might pick the brain of Alan Colley and Maeve De Burke very shortly, because I think their expert opinions will certainly be needed this evening.
Brilliant, Shane, and I look forward to that. Right, let us crack on with the National Hurling League and plenty of action. I'm glad to say, delighted to say, I'm joined by Shane McGrath. Happy Friday to you, Shane.
Many happy returns, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Another fantastic weekend of hurling to look forward to. Again, like Brendan, I'm going to try and do it chronologically today to make some sense of the divisions, even though you probably want to start with Kilkenny and Limerick. We will start, of course, with Tipperary and Cork, throwing in tomorrow at 7:30 in the FPD Semple Stadium. And, I mean, it's all set up. Tipperary leading the way and on 4 points, and Cork just on 3 points in Division 1A. There won't be too much between them.
No, there won't. I'd say it'll be a
good bit of hurt maybe there with the tip lads, you know, listen to what's been said or not said during the week, Andrew, in regards to the last time Cork came to Simple Stadium. They gave Tip the biggest beating ever, in the history of the two teams meeting in the Hurling Championship. So I think that has to be a factor for them. And I'm sure it maybe has been mentioned. Like, I suppose, what can you do? You can't do much about the past, but they're in the now, like, and what they can do something now about it, maybe even a bit of, you know, for them as a group as well, like, you know, that I'm sure that hurt a lot of them last year, Andrew. Like, I was there as well. It felt like it was a home game for Cork. So while this is the league and it's round four, you know, you're looking for one percenters to try and drive a group on, and I think that will be a big one for them. And, you know, they haven't made too many changes from the last few games. Even, you know, I was in at the Gaelic Grounds a couple of weeks ago, and only two changes from that team, like Joe Caesar is in and Jason Ford is in for Seamus Kendy and Darragh Stakelam. And I suppose Seamus Kendy and Darragh Stakelam are losing out in the fact that the two lads they were marking were nearly either of them could have got man of the match that day. So, you know, he's sticking with the lads that he feels are doing the business for him, and I think they're going to really go at this. Like, Tip are off next week as well, Andrew, whether or not people realise that they have a break week. Like, so I think Tip are going to really go at this, and like, Cork have five changes made. You know, between Padraig Power got injured there, so Owen Downey's in, Micheál Mullins is in, wing back, Robbie O'Flynn is in, Robbie Cotter and Jack O'Connor. So, you know, they're still fairly strong, albeit, you know, they're still without, I suppose, marquee guys like Jamie Harnady, Sean O'Donoghue, Mark Coleman, Robert Downey. So, but I just think at home, Tip, the hurt that was there from what happened in the championship last year, what Liam Cahill is trying to do this year, he said lads that are going well are getting the jerseys, and they'll get to hold on to the jerseys, and if you want the jersey off them, you'll get your chance, and if you take it, well and good. But all that being said, I really think that Tip are going to win this game tomorrow night in Turles. So now I have to say, Andrew, that's not the biggest thing on in Turles tomorrow night. The Tipperary Masters Hurling Champions, All Ireland Champions from 2024, are getting their medals in Lar Corbett's Bar, folks. So that's actually the main event in Turles tomorrow night. Just to let people know.
I'd say there might be some refreshments at that, would there?
Yeah, there will be some refreshments. There will be some over 40 my waddy served.
Very good, very good. Well sidestepped. Sunday afternoon, there's a two counties that have started, I suppose a slow start is probably an understatement now for Clare and Wexford, but a tip-off in Ennis is a 1:45 on Sunday in Cusick Park. And, I mean, there, it has been a slow start. I suppose you'd fancy Clare a little bit more to get the season started with a win tomorrow or on Sunday.
Yeah, bottom of the table clash, Andrew, there. So Sunday, so. But look, I just think you've both groups there in Clare and Wexford. Brian Lowen, the manager of Clare and Keith Rosler, the manager of Wexford. They're both decimated at the moment with injury. And like, to give you an indication where Clare are at, Clare had to use 10 lads were involved in the Galway game in Salt Hill a couple of weeks ago. 10 of them who weren't even on the match day panel for the All-Ireland final, let alone the team, they weren't even on the panel. So that's how far they're gone down into their panel, their group at the moment, to try and get even bodies out in the field. Wexford, not as bad, but, you know, between lads retiring and one thing or another, and lads not back yet, the likes of Lee Chin and these lads, they've been fairly decimated as well. So I think, for me, look, I think Wexford are nearly half kind of resigned to the fact maybe that they probably are going to end up getting relegated. Like, it's hard to see them. Like, say they're playing Clare away, they'll be playing Galway the following week, and realistically, their fate could be gone out of their hands even by the time that Galway game is over next week. So I think what Keith Rosler is looking for is just an improvement in performance. And what do I mean by improvement in performance? Like, they didn't score from play in the first half against Kilkenny the last day. They didn't score from play. They scored 4 points from frees. Their two of them were scored by their goalkeeper. So if you didn't have much else to say to the group apart from what happened in the first half against Kilkenny, because they came out, you know, and they gave it everything in the second half, but the game was done. And I think those kind of things alone, just a bit more passion in the team, a bit more heart, an improvement in the standards that the Wexford lads have. It all being said, I still think Clare will have too much room. I'd imagine they're going to get more bodies back because Brian Lowen's going to want to get a bit of time into the legs of the, you know, I suppose the top guys. We see Tony Kelly coming on the last day. So they're at home. They haven't had a win yet. They know they need to get a win on the board as well. So all those factors with on in Ennis, Clare getting a few more bodies back, and just where Wexford are at the moment, I couldn't see anything but a Clare win there on Sunday, Andrew.
On paper, the biggest game of the weekend is in Nolan Park at 1:45 on Sunday. Kilkenny up against Limerick. Limerick unbeaten after just two games, and Kilkenny have been beaten already, but Derek Ling's side have looked impressive in the two games they won.
Yeah, I suppose, like, they have their two wins. They've done well with their two wins. Again, they played Clare down in Ennis. Clare fairly decimated, as we said, and they were even nearly more decimated that day. And, you know, the last day I was actually down in Nolan Park when they played Galway. And I suppose, you know, normally Kilkenny at home, Andrew, they're just a force and there's a fear factor with them. So when they didn't win that day and they took the lead in the second half, that's obviously something that will be talked about in their group as well, and they'll want to drive it on. And you know, they were very impressive against Wexford, but I said Wexford just not showing up at the moment. So look, I just think of looking at Kilkenny, right, and maybe people mightn't agree with me at all here, I just think maybe they're just not the Kilkenny of old, and there's no,
and is it the rootlessness or the lack of rootlessness, Shane?
I just think it's like when you have the greatest group of players maybe ever in one group to play hurling. Limerick are close now. They're not far off it. Maybe they are even better. It's a good argument to have. But I just think like that when you look at their forward line now, and if you're the opposition, you go, right, need to shut down Massey Keown. We need to shut down Owen Cody. And then the other three or four, you're like, well, I think we'll have guys to do a job there. Whereas before with Kilkenny, you'd go, right, if the six lads don't do it, they might bring on Taggy Fogarty, Wally Walsh. They might bring on Richie Power if he wasn't fully right or coming back from injury. Maybe TJ was coming in. Now, that's a good while ago now, and obviously it's been a while since they went on All-Ireland, but I'm just saying they don't have that same maybe impact, that fear factor that used to be there before. And like I think teams sense that with them now. And look, they've won five in a row, Leinsters. They're unbelievable. They've been involved in two of the last three All-Ireland finals. That's just the standards they have, but I just don't think they're the same force as what they were. And even if you look who has to come back, right, John Donnelly will be back soon, Owen Murphy back in the goals, Adrian Mullen, Tommy Walsh, Richie Reid, and obviously TJ will be in. But like, if they're still wanting TJ to be their main guy after everything he's done, they're just maybe lacking, they're just maybe not right fully there to be really, really big All-Ireland contenders. And look, I could be eating my hat by the end of the year, but I just don't see it in them at the moment. Like, Massey Keown's their top scorer with 212 from play. And, like, if it's not happening for him or he gets shut down, who else do they look to, is what I'm trying to say. And if you look at Limerick, like, I'll be honest with you, Andrew, I think Limerick's biggest job this year could be when John Kiely and Co and Paul Kinnurk and the management sit down and say, Les, what's the team going to be? Because I was in the Gaelic grounds last week, and the bet, and while Tip did very well, we had to have a reality check walking out of it to say, like, Limerick are missing 10 lads there that could be starting in the championship. Like, you're talking about the likes of Sean Finn, Mike Casey, Barry Nash. You're talking about the likes maybe two out of the three of them maybe not making their championship full-back team.
Are you disappointed with the quality of hurling so far in the Division 1A? Or is it just normal for this time of year?
I actually think it's been actually one of the better starts to the league because of the bit of jeopardy there with the two teams getting relegated. And, you know, teams are trying to find their feet as well. You know, lads trying to get chances. I think as games go, I think we've seen some great games. I thought the Tip-Limerick game was a great game. I thought the Limerick-Cork game was a great game. I thought Kilkenny-Galway was a really good game. And even what's going on in 1B, I think, is very exciting. So, haven't been disappointed at all. I'm just saying, you know, we just have to be realistic about it, that when the stronger teams get everybody back, they will still be the stronger teams, like.
Okay, we're running out of time briefly. Wanted to touch on that top of the table game in Division 1B, Dublin up against Offaly in Croke Park. That's tomorrow evening with a 5 o'clock throw-in. It'll be pretty. It'll be 5:15. I've just been told. Actually, sorry about that. That'll be tough. And I mean, the Dubs have been in flying form, but so have Offaly this season so far.
They have, absolutely, yeah. They're both top of the table there. Offaly are in great form. They had a great victory against Antrim. You know, basically hammered them, like, there's no point in saying anything else. But Dublin, I suppose, gave them a similar beating earlier on in the year. So, Offaly are top of the table, I suppose, just people realise that they have an extra game played in Dublin. So, What I really like about Dublin is that loads of new guys are getting a chance. They're playing their matches in Croke Park. Like, that's where their championship matches are probably most likely going to be on. You know, that's a sign of intent from the group as well, that, you know, we want to play in this big stadium. We're not afraid to play in this big field. And Neil O'Callaghan, as everyone knows, with Nafina and what he did with them, he was saying that, you know, the likes of the Nafina lads, they'll be back in the panel now, but they've 3 games in the next 15 days. But you know what? It's ideal prep. That's what's going to happen in the Leinster Championship. And if teams are giving out about this now in the league, like, realistically, this is the way the Championship is now. You're going to have 2-3 games in the space of 3 weeks, 15 days. So I think it's great prep for them. Where do I see this match going? I think Dublin, with the rest they got and everything, and being in Croke Park and just seeing what they're about so far this year, they're just a different animal this year. And I think in Croke Park as well, get a bit of home support behind them by the time the football crowd come in as well there, Andrew. So I think Offaly are in great form. I just think Dublin might have too much from this weekend. And as I said, I think 1B is the league where all the excitement's going to be come round 6 or 7 in the hurling. Like,
Shane, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you for that.
RTE 2FM. Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. It is about 12 minutes to 7, and after 7 o'clock, of course, we will be in Tala Stadium for full coverage of the UEFA Women's Nations League Group B2 clash between the Republic of Ireland and Turkey. And on our panel tonight is Alan Cawley in Tala Stadium, and we're going to bring in Alan now to talk about Champions League draws, the League of Ireland, and all of the rest of the soccer stories that we want to talk about this evening, apart from that all-important game between the Republic of Ireland and Turkey. Alan, happy Friday yet again.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
Good. Let's talk about this Champions League draw before we get on to the League of Ireland stuff. Briefly, Liverpool up against Paris Saint-Germain in the round of 16 in the Champions League. Liverpool away in the first leg will probably suit them.
I think it will suit them being away in the first leg, but a tough game, Andrew. To be fair, you look at all the ties today, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Bayern Munich as well, against Bayer Leverkusen. I think there's a really, really 3 or 4 tasty ties for us all to view over the next coming weeks. And this is what you get in the Champions League when we get to the business end. I know it's probably been a long process. Some people have commented on the format, whether it's good or bad. I've enjoyed it, to be honest with you, Andrew, but now we are down to the business end. And it's a place where I love to be after Christmas watching these games, because they are phenomenal. When you look at, I suppose, the demolition job Real Madrid did on Man City during the week, they'll be tough to beat, even though they have a tough game against Atletico. But I do think Liverpool will overcome PSG over two legs, but I think it's a tough tie. They could have had an easier one at this stage.
PSG looked better this year than they did last year with Mbappe last year, obviously without him this year. But as a team, they look sort of more cohesive and they seem stronger all over the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, Andrew. They've obviously a very good manager in Enrique, and maybe the shackles have come off some of the other players and it's freed up a few of them with Mbappe gone, because sometimes when you have one major kingpin in the team, sometimes it leaves restrictions on others. But now there's been a freedom, I suppose, put on some of the other players, and they've expressed themselves in that. Dembele, probably most of all, he's always had the ability, but sometimes he flatters to deceive, but he's been in great form. Barcola as well. So they have some serious talent, and I think, as you says, the biggest strength that they have going forward now, I feel, what they haven't had in the last probably 3 or 4 years, is that cohesive unit, and they look more united as a team rather than just relying on one or two individuals.
And Arsenal paired with PSV Eindhoven, and Eindhoven have just seen off Juventus. Aston Villa taking on Club Brugge, who've just beaten Atalanta, the Europa League reigning champions. So not easy for Arsenal or Aston Villa.
No, tough games, because funny enough, Andrew, I watched Club Brugge against Atalanta over the two legs. That actually ended up, because I'm nearly sure one of them was the early game. So I've seen Club Brugge, and they were very, very good. I actually fancied Atalanta in the second leg, because I thought Atalanta didn't give them enough respect in the first leg, and I thought they'd do them in the second leg. But Club Brugge were fantastic the other night and deserved a victory over the two legs. So that'll be a tough game. And I watched Juventus against Inter Milan last Sunday night, and for the first time I felt Juventus were getting back to the levels, I suppose, of yesteryear, and coming back to being a strong major force, not only in the Serie A but in Europe as well. And I fancied them to go through against PSV, but I was wrong on both occasions. But they will be tough games for Arsenal and Aston Villa. Villa were decent enough against Liverpool the other night, obviously a brilliant manager, they've strengthened in the window there in January as well. Very good team. You would expect the English teams to come through, but difficult ties as well, Andrew.
And speaking about English teams to come through, would you have the same faith in Manchester United beating Real Sociedad in the Europa League? And Spurs would probably get through AZ Alkmaar?
Yeah, the Spurs one's an interesting one for me because, of course, all eyes focus on Troy Parrott and him going back to Spurs, and he's been a revelation since he's gone over. So that'll be a really interesting one for all us to view and to watch. And, of course, Spurs so inconsistent, and all the debate and the narrative around Postecoglou, which has been ongoing all year. So I do think they'll get through it, but I think it's a tough tie. United, on the other hand, Andrew, no faith whatsoever. I'm sorry, Real Sociedad will beat them. Very good team, and I think they will beat them over the two legs. Whether it's one leg, two legs, I don't think Man United have much of a chance against them.
In the Conference League, of course, no Shamrock Rovers. We'll talk about that in a second. But Chelsea should have well enough in the tank to beat FC Copenhagen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chelsea should go all the way and win this competition now, Andrew, being honest, when they're probably too good for this level of competition. We've seen Shamrock Rovers last night, and we will touch on it, but that's more for, I suppose, the likes of our league and smaller leagues around Europe, not for the likes of Chelsea. I suppose, look at the quality and resources that they have at their disposal. So I'd be shocked if they, not only they'll beat Copenhagen, but I'd be shocked if they don't go on and win the whole thing out.
Okay, let us cross to the most important league in the world. That is, of course, the League of Ireland. Waterford and Shelburne, two victories after round one. And Shells, they had it probably easier than they expected against Derry last week, but Waterford will be tough tonight. Oh, we've broken.
Brilliant occasion, yep. Andrew, but Derry just never put up any resistance whatsoever. Now, in fairness to Shelburne blew them away in the opening 20-25 minutes with their performance, but I was so disappointed with Derry, and the game was over at half time. Regardless of whether the lights went off or not, the game was over. The lights were out for Derry after about 20 minutes. But when you look at the game tonight, you get Waterford coming into it with a bit of confidence, a good away victory in Sligo. The road their luck a little bit in the second half. Sligo Rovers probably should have got a point out of it. They had loads of shots on target, loads of chances, but they just couldn't get that equalising goal. So it was a good result for Waterford, but I'd be expecting Shelburne to go down to Waterford. Now, depending on conditions, that might impact the game, but I'd be expecting Shelburne to go down there and win tonight. And I do think Shelburne will be banged here come the end of the season. I've been so impressed. I've only seen them twice now, with the President's Cup and last week, but I think they'll be banged here again this year, Andrew.
Now, the lights will stay on at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. I have been reassured. Will Bowes get their second win?
Yeah, well, Derry don't want the lights going out again in 2 weeks on the trot for them, Shane, so they'll need a better response and a better performance from what we've seen last week, because they were very, very poor. And I actually felt at the start of the season, because of a couple of the signings that Tiernan Lynch made, that they'd put up a good fist of it this year, Derry, because they've brought in a lot of experience, which I thought would help them. But I was so disappointed with them last week. And it was two players who've been with them. One was out on loan last year for large spells, but the other was the captain, and they were the ones that let them down massively, and Mark Connolly and Sam Todd. So it'll be interesting to see if he'll go with the same lineup again tonight. I think he'll have to make changes. But Bohemians, coming off the back of a brilliant victory in the Aviva Stadium on Sunday, beating Shamrock Rovers, just what their season needed. Get off to a good start. Tough game away again tonight, but they've a little bit of momentum behind them, and on paper they look very good, not only on the grass last Sunday. I think they've a good team, Bohemians, a team that can get them high up the table this year, and I think they could get the job done, which would be a massive statement if they were to beat Shamrock Rovers the opening week, and then to go to the Brandywell and beat them as well. It would be huge for Bohemians.
And in a word, very briefly, Alan, Galway United hosting St Pat's, both still unbeaten.
St Patrick's Athletic.
Yes, St Patrick's Athletic. Yes.
You asked me for a word, Andrew. You should know me well enough by now, Andrew.
That's fine. That's enough. That's enough. Alan, we'll talk to you after seven. And of course, Republic of Ireland and Turkey coming up at 7:30. And we'll speak to all the panel there at the moment. But let us cross to racing now. And a busy weekend ahead of us as well. Owen Ward joins us. Happy Friday to you, Owen.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good, good. I have to keep the whip out now because we're into the final two furlongs of the programme, and we're closing in. So the Bobby Joe Chase at Ferryhouse taking centre stage over the weekend, and it should give us plenty of clues towards the Grand National.
Yeah, I can't believe we're already talking about horses having their final run before the Grand National. The season absolutely flying by, but it's obviously a great trial for the Grand National. We know Aya Maximus won it last year en route to his Aintree success, but really it's a great race in its own right. I'd say arguably tomorrow's race is one of the strongest renewals for quite a while, because you've obviously got last year's winner Aya Maximus back again, but he's up against an improving stablemate in Nick Rocket. He comes here fresh from winning the Thaestes at Gorn. His trainer Willie Mullins, he was talking about potentially supplementing him for the Gold Cup after it. You know, that's the calibre of horse that he could be, and the conditions of the Bobby Joe tomorrow mean that he's carrying 12 pounds less than Aya Maximus. So although Aya Maximus has a good record around Fairy House, I think it could be at Nick Rocket's day tomorrow.
And the second favourite for the Mayor's Chase at Cheltenham is Bioluminescence, easy to say, and she is running tomorrow as well at the 4:35.
Yeah, the Colreevy Mayor's Chase is a race transferred from Thurles, a cancelled card during the week. But Bioluminescence, really interesting to see Gavin Cromwell, her trainer, deciding to get another runner into her so close to Cheltenham, because she's only had the two runs over fences. She's still a novice and she's going to have to take on more experienced rivals when it comes to the festival in just over 2.5 weeks' time. So he's going to get another run into her tomorrow. Some more match practice after a good run behind Dancing City last time. But this is far from a penalty kick from her, because Willie Mullins has Spindleberry in the lineup. She's a horse who was placed in a Grade 1 last season, so I'd be expecting her to put it up to Bioluminescence, but I think Gavin Cromwell's mare, she should still have the edge.
And further afield, Jessica Harrington's Ashdale Bob in action at Kempton tomorrow, and also some Aidan and Joseph O'Brien runners on the very valuable Saudi Cup card in Riyadh.
Yeah, Ashdale Bob, probably one of the more noble Irish contenders over in England tomorrow. Jessica Harrington sending him over to the Pendle over in Kempton. He's a horse that so often came up second best in staying hurdles, but since going over fences during the summer, he's won two in a row. But I think this test over Kempton, over 2.5 miles, might not be just exactly what he wants coming up against the likes of Rubo. Also at Newcastle in the Eider Chase, History of Fashion and Bodus Adava, two good Irish runners in that marathon test. But you mentioned over in the Saudi Cup, $38 million up for grabs at that fixture. The Saudi Cup itself is worth $20 million. The Irish interest, it's on the undercard. Aidan and Joseph O'Brien have four runners between them. Continuous, probably Aidan O'Brien's big hope in the Red Sea Turf Handicap. It's a race the stable won 12 months ago with Tower of London. Joseph's best chance, probably in the Neom Turf Cup. Al Rifa, a horse that was quite fancied for the Arc back in October. Never able to get involved over in Paris, but he's down in grade. He comes back up against a Japanese horse, Shin Emperor, who finished behind him in Longchamp. And in that race, you've also got Alex Ferguson's Spirit Dancer, a horse who won that race 12 months ago. So the Irish O'Briens hoping to get some of the Saudi dollars.
And not quite 38 million on offer in Nice on Sunday. There is an eight race card though there, with three Grade 3 races. What are you looking forward to briefly?
Yeah, I suppose Bacchanalian is one that horse that impressed me. Loved his attitude when he won around Nace earlier in the month. He should love the testing ground that they're going to have on Sunday. He runs in the winning Fair Juvenile. Blood Destiny is probably the big star of the day. He was dueling with Spillane's Terror all of last season, but he's back down to 2 miles, heavy ground. He loved that in the Flying Bolt Novices Chase this time last year. Expect him to win the Newlands Chase, but disappointing that of the three Grade 3 races on the card, only five runners in each of them.
Owen, thank you very much. Enjoy the weekend and we'll speak to you soon. So that is all for this hour of Game On. After the news, we'll hear from Ireland rugby captain Dan Sheehan, and we'll do our full build up to the big match, Ireland versus Turkey.
RTE 2FM.